Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, Hour 2. I want to thank my most recent co-devil, Bill Press, from the Bill Press Podcast. He's a good friend, a fine podcaster and a pundit, and, he's a legend. We love him around here. And another guy we love, and there's some great news, especially for our Madison area listeners, Al Franken's coming to town. He's doing a tour. He's coming to the Barrymore Theater, Madison, Wisconsin. They have called us. We're going to help promote this big event. Now, the tickets go on sale this Friday, December 17th at 10 a.m. For Al Franken. He's calling it the only former U.S. Senator currently on tour. Former Senator Al Franken coming to the Barrymore Theater Friday, April 29th. That's a Friday night. It's going to be a big show. I'm going to read this press release. We got time. Former Senator Al Franken takes his... The only former U.S. Senator currently on tour to the Barrymore Theater in Madison, Friday, April 29th, 2022. Tickets go on sale this Friday, December 17th at 10 a.m. at barrymorelive.com. As far as anyone knows, Al Franken is the only U.S. Senator who was also one of the original writers for Saturday Night Live. During his 15 seasons with SNL, Franken won 5 Emmys for writing and producing. He's also the author of 4 New York Times bestsellers, including, and this is my favorite, Rush Limbaugh is a Big Fat Idiot and Other Observations, Lies in the Lying Liars Who Tell Them, A Fair and Balanced Look at the Right, and Al Franken, Giant of the Senate. Can't wait to write my book someday. Franken served Minnesota in the Senate from 09 to 18, clobbering his first opponent, incumbent Norm Coleman, by 312 votes. He won his second election by over 200,000 votes. Franken served on the Judiciary, Energy, Indian Affairs, and Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions committees, where he routinely embarrassed badly prepared witnesses and was a fierce opponent of media concentration, mandatory arbitration, Betsy DeVos. The Al Franken Podcast is one of the nation's top 10 politics and public affairs podcasts, with guests like Malcolm Nance, Sarah Silverman, Paul Krugman, Chris Rock, and Michelle Obama. And then they correct. Well, not Michelle Obama, but guests like her. His Political Action Committee Midwest Values PAC supports progressive Democrats' voting rights and host of other good non-political things. Al and his wife, Freddie, have been married for 45 years, many of them happy. They have 2 children and 4 grandchildren. Al Franken coming to Madison, the Barrymore Theater, Friday, April 29th, 2022. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. So we'll welcome former Senator Al Franken. Can't wait. Hope he joins me on this big show. Today marks a sad occasion of sorts. Well, it's a sad occasion. It is the 9th anniversary of the Sandy Hook shooting. And that was the one with the elementary school kids, the little kids. And there were a lot of them. And 9 years later, nothing much has changed. And I took note of the fact that there has been a proposed change, at least in the state of California. And we've got some sound from the president. Let's start with Joe Biden on this topic. Sandy Hook, don't want to diminish the anniversary of like 20 dead school children. So let's play Biden addressing this issue. Evan needs your help. President Joe Biden on gun violence, cut 50.
No matter how long it's been, every one of those families relives the news they got that day. 20 precious first graders, 6 heroic educators, a lone gunman in an unconscionable act of violence.
More from the president, Joe Biden, cut 51.
Got to know so many of you personally. I spoke to every one of your families and found I found hope in your strength as you turned pain into purpose to change the laws and the culture around gun violence.
Joe Biden, of course, was the vice president under Obama at that time. Here is the president, now President Joe Biden, Cut 52, again, talking about Sandy Hook, the ninth anniversary.
In my budget, I'm calling for doubling the funding for gun violence prevention research, including examining gun violence as a public health threat, which it is, in my view.
Other school shootings? Well, there have been many more. Cut 53.
In Parkland, Florida, and Oxford, Michigan, in countless communities across the country, there's these horrific shootings that make national headlines and embarrass us as a nation. And for many others, every day, particularly in black and brown communities, there's the equivalent of a mass shooting we don't even hear about.
That was President Joe Biden today, marking the ninth anniversary of Sandy Hook. I've got an op-ed here. I'd like to read at least part of it. Senator Pat Toomey, he's a Republican from Pennsylvania. Senator Chris Murphy, a Democrat from Connecticut, and Mark Barden, he was one of the Sandy Hook parents. And they write, and this I found at thehill.com, on the ninth anniversary of Sandy Hook, we must realize bipartisan action can save lives. 9 years ago this month, December 14th, 2012, 20 first graders and 6 educators were shot to death at Sandy Hook Elementary School. It was an unimaginable tragedy that shook the nation to its core. The tragedy demanded solutions. So in 2013, almost 9 years ago, we members of Congress and advocates worked across the aisle to write a bill that would make it more difficult for people that can, we can all agree, shouldn't have access to firearms to obtain them. But the Senate failed to pass even this bipartisan bill. Since that time, shootings in this country have become only more commonplace. In the past 3 years alone, there have been more than 2,000 mass shootings. That's in 3 years in the United States, 2,000. Nearly 18,000 kids under 18 have been killed or injured by guns. That is a stark number. And there have been more than 400 shootings on school grounds. Just the other week, 4 teenagers were shot and murdered at a school by their classmate in Oxford, Michigan. The devastation that follows these shootings is hard to fathom. Families lost a son, a daughter, a sibling that day. Children are reeling from having lost a classmate, a friend, or a teammate. It's simply unacceptable that today's students across the country worry about being gunned down when they step off the bus and into school. Our message to our colleagues is simple. We can take simple steps to reduce shootings in this country, and we can do so while protecting the rights of law-abiding citizens, and we should not wait. That's why the three of us, a progressive Democrat, a conservative Republican, and an activist whose son was killed in the Sandy Hook shootings, are at a table ready to work on a deal to save lives. Here's our goal. Expand the existing background check system to keep prohibited persons from taking advantage of loopholes. Pardon me. Right now, in many states, a criminal can get a gun by going to a gun show or buying a weapon online. Forums where background checks are not required under federal law. Even in states with stronger background check laws, there's very little stopping someone from bringing an illegal weapon from the next state over or from getting it on the black market. We're not going to let the perfect be the enemy of the good when it comes to making our communities safer. The 2013 bill is a clear starting point, but we are transparent in our willingness to compromise in order to reach a bipartisan deal that respects individual rights while meaningfully expanding the number of background checks we conduct. And we believe Congress can do it. So they've laid out some of the math here, and I'd like to share just a little of the math. I'm not going to keep reading aloud. It's not my strong suit. But here's a little bit more. The foundation of the current background check system was created with broad bipartisan support. 8 in 10 Americans, including tens of millions of gun owners, want us to expand background checks. More than 50 bipartisan senators already support doing so. No policy is going to prevent all tragedies, but the tragedy at Sandy Hook and the hundreds of school shootings since then serve as a reminder that we cannot rest until we agree on common sense solutions that will save lives. We just need a few more senators to see that expanding background checks is one of those solutions. While not unique to America, school shootings occur in the United States at a rate that far outpaces any other developed country. We're the only high-income nation where students are afraid to go to school out of fear that a classmate might shoot them. Doing nothing will perpetuate this unacceptable reality. Now, there's more to this op-ed piece authored by Pat Toomey, Chris Murphy, a U.S. senator, a Republican and a Democrat, and Mark Barden, who is the co-founder and CEO of the Sandy Hook Promise Action Fund. And he was the father of Daniel, who was killed at Sandy Hook December 14, 2012. Now, over the course of the weekend, I saw that Governor Gavin Newsom of California is going to try something. And I don't know if I admire this effort or not, but you know what? Damn it, I do. California governor says he will use the legal tactics of the Texas abortion ban to implement gun control. You know what I mean? The majority of the American people want this. And unlike the state of Texas, Texas what? Deputized everyone. Everyone's a vigilante. And everyone can go seek $10,000 if they, what, rat out an abortion provider, or perhaps even a woman seeking reproductive care or an abortion. And by making it a vigilante system, they effectively have excluded the federal courts from ruling on what is an established right under Roe v. Wade. This is a constitutional right established in the United States. Now, Roe v. Wade may be overturned. It might be the first time Americans ever lost a constitutional right. That may be coming. But this novel enforcement mechanism that helps to avoid the federal courts and helps shield the law from basically the normal process. Well, if it works for Texas, what about the state of California? And instead of the minority using tyrannical rule to try and enforce their will upon the majority, in this case, the vast majority of Californians believe that there should be an assault weapons ban. And the governor is going to overcome, you know, the Second Amendment sort of objections, the NRA, the lawsuits, by using the same novel enforcement mechanism. I think it's bad law. I think it's bad practice. And I think it's about time the Democrats started taking up the very same options, the very same strategies of the right. And in this case, this would be the will of the people. Come back with us. Devil's Advocates Radio Show, doing the will of the people.